My name is Stacey Thompson, and I'm the coordinator for the McKinley County Strategic Networks of Advocates for the Prevention of Suicide and Substance Abuse, also known as SNAPSA. It's a coalition, and we primarily focus on prevention efforts regarding underage drinking and prescription drug misuse and abuse. Other affiliations that I'm associated with are like other youth serving organizations here in McKinley County, such as Big Brothers, Big Sisters. We once partnered with YCC, the Youth Conservation Corp. Also, we've partnered with many folks, health professionals, like with pharmacies from the Indian Health Medical Center here in Gallup, with pharmacies such as Safeway, Walmart, and Walgreens, in which they help us disseminate information regarding our prescription drug abuse handbooks. We work with county and local government as well in order to get them to support some of the initiatives that we've been working on. And lastly, we work with school administrators to see what kind of support we could bring to them. As you know, we have all these connections with the stakeholders within the community. So we kind of have the nose about prevention efforts that are happening and services that are happening in the community.
My name is Lori Parra, and I'm the McKinley County Community Services Director. I oversee a few departments within the county. One is the Juvenile Substance Abuse Crisis Center, and that is where the SNAPSA Coalition does business out of. I also oversee the McKinley County DWI program, and we do a lot of prevention efforts throughout the county and city. And the other program that I oversee is the compliance monitoring program. And so a lot of the work that we do is similar to what Stacy had mentioned. We do a lot of outreach with the schools, with health professionals, with other counselors throughout Gallup. And we are focusing on the school-to-prison pipeline because it's actually becoming a national issue that people need to be aware of. So we want to bring it to our community so that people can be aware of the potential problems and just educate them a little bit more. That's why we're doing the school-to-prison pipeline town hall or presentation on the 25th.
My name is Curtis Hayes, and I got involved with SNAPSA back when I was a professor in the Behavioral Sciences Department at the Gallup branch for Western New Mexico University. With their closure, I've recently taken new employment as the city attorney for the city of Gallup. But you know, one of the focuses of SNAPSA is working in the schools. So a couple of the projects that are going on is that at the two of the middle schools, JFK and Chief Manuelito, SNAPSA sponsors life skills training for the sixth graders in those schools to focus on prevention efforts. But another effort is the school policy group, and we're hoping to get some feedback at the presentation on the 25th on potential changes to discipline policies concerning substance issues at Gallup-McKinley County Schools. So we've drafted a potential policy that kind of eliminates the mandatory minimums that are in the current policy. You know, the current superintendent, Mr. Hyatt, and the current hearing authority, Ben Chavez, I think are really making a concerted effort to not use suspension or long-term suspension and expulsion as has been done in the past, but their hands are somewhat tied by the policy, which has some mandatory minimums in it. So one of the things that we'll be doing at the presentation is distributing a survey asking parents and other attendees what should the policy look like for folks that are caught drinking or possessing marijuana or giving away or selling marijuana on school grounds, those kinds of things.
So again, we are talking about a presentation at Town Hall happening Wednesday evening, October 25th.
It's going to start at 5:30. So 5:30, we are serving dinner. So there is going to be dinner provided for folks attending this presentation. And that will begin at 5:30. The presentation will start at 6 and it should end by 7:30. And the last 30 minutes, 7:30 to 8 o'clock, that's when we're hoping to get our feedback from folks who attend to, you know, take part of that survey that Curtis mentioned.
When we talk about this phrase, the school-to-prison pipeline, are we looking at all instances in which someone leaves school before high school graduation, whether just dropping out, whether expelled through disciplinary issues. Is there a qualitative difference between the cases?
Well, I think the school-to-prison pipeline focuses more on discipline policies and how they affect the chances that someone's going to end up in the criminal justice system. Certainly, we know that folks that don't finish high school are much more likely to end up in prison. And so, statistically, we know that someone who doesn't finish high school is 8 times as likely to end up in prison as someone who doesn't. And so, you know, obviously there's 2 ways that you end up not being in high school. One is that you're kicked out. The other is that you voluntarily leave. But we know that folks that are suspended end up getting so far behind that very often they end up voluntarily leaving. And so there's some research in that area, too, that shows that when a kid is suspended, and it depends on, you know, when they're suspended and how long the suspension is and those kinds of things, but somewhere between about 15 to 30% increase in the decrease in the likelihood that they're going to finish high school. So they're more likely, once you've had any type of suspension, you're more likely to not finish high school. And that's controlling for other factors because, you know, kids that are suspended very often have a lot of other issues going on in their lives. But comparing, you know, comparable populations, if you're suspended, you're at any time in your high school career, you're less likely to finish high school. And then that obviously contributes to the fact that you're much more likely to end up in the criminal justice system.
Do we have any idea what the percentages are of students who leave school before high school graduation who within 5 to 10 years do go back to complete a GED or if it's a quick turnaround to actually return to high school?
I don't think any of us do. You know, we're not really experts on the school-to-prison pipeline. That's why we've invited in the expert to give us that kind of information. What we know is that there is a school-to-prison pipeline, and one of our projects with SNAPSA is to do what we can in working with the schools to decrease it through changes in the discipline policy. And so that's kind of our little focus. There are certainly a lot of other things that could be done as far as student engagement and things like that that are way beyond the scope of SNAPSA's mission.
If there are any listeners interested in attending the October 25th event, how would they go about doing that? Do they just show up? Do they RSVP?
No RSVP. All they have to do is show up, and pretty much it's an open event, so there's no cost. Just come on in, bring your family in, because we know, you know, it is going to be a late evening. That's why we are providing the dinner. So bring your family and, you know, join us for that evening.
And I assume that you would like to see the families and students who may have left school and those that may be having some issues, disciplinary issues or other issues that are making them more at risk of leaving school.
Definitely.
Has anybody mentioned the location yet?
Is it going to be at the GMCS administrative building?
Correct.
Yeah,
where the board normally meets.
Right. And it'll be in the boardroom?
Mm-hmm.
Is that also where the food will be served?
Yes.
With regard to the workshop itself, do you want to talk a bit about the plans for the presenter, a little bit about who will be speaking, about what their background might be that might make this an important event for people to attend?
Yeah, so the gentleman that we have coming in, we actually attended a small presentation that he held here on campus, actually, 2 years ago. His name is Matthew Bernstein. He's an attorney from Albuquerque from Pegasus Legal Services for Children. And he's going to be describing how students that are not kept in school are much more likely to end up in the criminal justice system. His presentation will also focus on factors that contribute to the pipeline and ways to interrupt the pipeline. We've also asked him because we get a lot of questions about truancy, and even though we focus mainly on alcohol, tobacco, and other drugs, we do get a lot of people asking about, okay, well, what are you guys doing about truancy, or what's being done about truancy? So we did ask him to touch on that as well. So hopefully he'll be talking about that too a little bit, because I know that's a concern for a lot of parents because it's a big problem.
Curtis, I think you mentioned that one of the imperatives behind this event was to have Mr. Bernstein bring information perhaps that you all would like to have and maybe that the community would like to have. So what are some specific questions that you would ask of Mr. Bernstein that you think are important for this community? And this is for any of you, Stacey, Lori, Curtis.
Well, for me, one would basically, you know, what does the data say about us locally, if he could provide that, comparing us to the state, and then just seeing how we look nationally. So really understanding, like, graduation rates, you know, are those really going up? Are they going down? You know, what's influencing those? Could this school-to-prison pipeline, the behavior that students have within school, you know, be hindering our graduation rates for students? And if so, you know, with parents coming by, the feedback that they're able to give us to say, maybe, you know what, this should happen in the school, or this could have taken place. So that would be my question is, you know, what does our data look like? What is it showing us as a community at small?
Obviously, there's going to be some consideration of the demographics of the region that McKinley County, northwestern New Mexico, northeastern Arizona, it's among one of the poorer regions in the Southwest, if not the rest of the country. How does the poverty rate in the area directly impact at-risk students?
That is a really big concern, and you're right, we are... Our region and our area is a little bit different than, say, Albuquerque or Santa Fe or some of the other more highly populated areas. So he will need to, you know, take that into consideration, and we'll need to take that into consideration as a board and use that information when we go talk to the schools again and try to get our policy recommendations looked at again. So that's really important. And I think you're totally right that, you know, poverty does play a huge role in sometimes the, you know, the ability to graduate or the ability to finish school for a variety of reasons based on, you know, each individual family. So those are things that, you know, we want to make sure that he's aware of when he's talking to our families that evening.
Obviously, this is being sponsored in part by GMCS. Have any members or authorities from Navajo Nation, Department of Education, or Zuni, or other area school districts been invited to this event?
So far, we've had one of our members give information to the Navajo Nation Council delegates. We've also invited the district board with Gallup-McKinley County. Superintendent has been invited. We have not reached out to Zuni yet, though. But, you know, we are more than willing to invite just everyone who would be interested in it. So even if you're not a part of Gallup-McKinley County schools, you know, you are more than welcome to still attend and provide us feedback, provide us insight that you may be doing within your district that would help us as well.
One of the questions I would probably have for Mr. Bernstein is whether there are any statistics on communities where there's a larger Native population and whether there are any impacts from the family support system unique to particular cultures in the region, irrespective of the relative economic status of the community.
You know, the Gallup-McKinley County School District, I think, has a pretty aggressive policy about reaching out to parents when their kids have missed school. But, you know, I taught a class at Miami High School for 3 years as a dual enrollment course, and the absentee rate really astounded me. A lot of it really does have to do with, you know, those kids are part of the family enterprise of putting food on the table. And so that becomes a bigger priority than getting that kid to school. And you know, certainly as spread out as the school district is here, transportation issues, come into play a lot. But you're absolutely right that when you've got poverty, you've got rural areas, and you've got families that are very close-knit, which Native culture families are, the family unit is probably more important than it is with Anglo society. That kid is part of that unit. And again, putting food on the table becomes a bigger priority than getting that kid to school in the morning.
Just to touch back on what you had asked, you know, what your question would be to Mr. Bernstein regarding our population. There is a place here in town that he works closely with. It's Native American Disability Center, and they may have some of those statistics for our particular population. So that would be a great resource for anyone listening.
Is there anything that you anticipate will come out of this first town hall? Next steps? Will there be more listening sessions or town halls to follow up on this? Are you anticipating that you're going to be meeting more with folks from different school districts in the area? Are law enforcement authorities ever involved in this kind of discussion?
I would imagine that our follow-up to this would be continued contact with the school board and with the hearing authority, with the superintendent. So moving forward in that direction, I don't know at this point in time if we'll continue having these types of town halls. I mean, that may be dependent on some of the feedback that we get via the survey. So at this time, I think our hope is to get that survey information, compile it, and then have that to have for our next discussion with the schools.
And of course, we are not in an isolated situation when we're talking about students. We've had any number of public hearings, town halls on everything from borderland violence to the substance abuse issues in the area, funding for the Nanajoni Center or the Detox Center in Gallup, and support, you know, from various entities, including the City of Gallup, Navajo Nation, etc. All of these things tie together. There's no isolated discussion that can take place without considering all of these other things that are going on.
But one of the things that we did promise Mr. Hyatt was that after we got feedback from the citizens that attend, is that we would be back next month to him with a formal proposal for some potential policy changes for them to consider.
Yes, and basically, you know, what we're trying to recommend is getting the support that kids need when they come in contact with behavioral issues at school, instead of, you know, 1, 2, 3, let's kick them out, or one chance, let's kick them out. You know, we really want them to have the support that they need. And that's pretty much been like the goal of this SNAPSA committee was, you know, how do we keep kids in school? We don't want them to drop out. We want them to finish. We don't want them to repeat a grade. You know, we want them to continue to go forward. If they're getting kicked out 2 times, getting suspended 2 times, you know, that's putting them out possibly 10 days at the most. And that's a lot of schoolwork to try to catch up on. And it would be very hard for those students, you know, just to, you know, find that momentum, find that inspiration, like, okay, I missed this many days, but now I got to go back and, you know, get it done. But really, we want the support for the students. So, you know, when they come back in, everything is, you know, well, not everything, but things are there for them to progress still and not, you know, have to repeat a grade, not to have to decide, you know, this is it, I'm not going to catch up, and this, we don't want them to drop out. We want them to continue to go forward in life.
Now, this may be a trivial query, but the fact is that there are any number of family members who might actually be attracted to the event principally because they're going to be fed. So do we have any information on what kind of food's going to be served at this point?
Pasta.
So we are going to have two different types of pasta. One's going to be an Alfredo pasta. The other one's going to be a meat dark type of pasta. We're also going to serve it with salad. There's going to be brownies or cookies, depending on what the chef decides. And then, of course, you know, we'll have tea or lemonade.
And that's starting at 5:30 on Wednesday, the 25th of October, at the GMCS Administration Building's boardroom on 640 Boardman Avenue, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anything else, Lori?
I just wanted to, before we finish, just thank the schools for really allowing us to bring this topic to the community and for allowing us to use their space. And thank them for the food that they're going to provide. It's actually being provided by the SFE Food Services, and they're the ones that feed Gallup-McKinley County Schools, and they're great. So we appreciate all that they've done for us.
Well, Stacy had mentioned, you know, when kids are suspended for periods of time, it's difficult for them to catch up, and we know that also statistically students with learning disabilities are more likely to be subject to that kind of discipline. And so they've got two strikes really there because, you know, they're missing the time, but they've got a learning disability to begin with that makes it more difficult for them to keep up. And so that's one of the issues that nationwide is discussed in the school-to-prison pipeline is how school discipline policies disproportionately affect children of color and children with disabilities.
Touching on the issue of economic status, there have been studies that point to the problem of nutrition as it relates to the ability of students to be able to focus on school, and that too is going to be a factor with many of these students, whether they have other issues or not. If you do not have adequate nutrition, that's going to impact on your daily struggle to learn.
And certainly Gallup-McKinley County Schools is kind of on the leading edge of that with free breakfast and free lunch for pretty much everybody in the school district, I believe.
And I think, yeah, they're I think, ahead of the curve on that. And I think in this region it's particularly important.
I would just like to also let the listeners know that one of the programs that we have as well is a case management program for at-risk youth ages 12 to 17, and we can always be utilized for a variety of services that maybe parents are needing assistance with for their kids regarding alcohol and tobacco and other drugs. All they need to do is just give us a call or come by our office, and we're available Monday through Thursday, 7 to 6 p.m., and they can contact us at 505-726-8249.
If anybody wants to get a hold of the SNAPSA, I could also be reached at 505-726-8249. That is the same building as the JSEC program. Just ask for extension 3313. And you will be directed to myself. Like I said, I am the program coordinator for the SNAPSA Coalition, and I can answer any questions that you have. So feel free to give me a call.
Thank you, Stacy, Lori, Curtis.
Thank you so much.